It's all about prosperity, isn't it? If we're prosperous, it doesn't matter how we get there. Even if we have to compromise, or even if we have to take the word of God and twist it and say, God wants you prosperous, whatever helps to make us prosperous and to bring prosperity, surely it has to be right. Surely prosperity is a sign of God's blessing. Beloved, surely it's not if you compromise. To Jeremiah 44. We've come to the place where the people wanted to go. Not just Yohanan, but the people wanted to go to Egypt also. And if that hasn't been clear before, God's going to let you see the hearts of these people. And precious one, as we look at this word and we pray for you before we even make these programs, but as we look at this precious word, you've got to ask God to search your heart and see if there be any way of pain in your life, any way that is causing you pain, any way that is going to lead you into pain, any way that you can avoid pain, the pain of disobedience. Now, I open this program talking about prosperity, and you're going to see why as we get into Jeremiah chapter 44, the last chapter that we have to look at today and in this week. And as we've looked at it, remember, we've talked about the fear of man and the fear of God. The fear of God results in obedience to God, because to fear God means not to tremble or afraid he's going to strike you with lightning, or that he's going to send you some terrible place you don't want to go, or that he's going to torment you for the rest of your life and make you miserable. The fear of God is trusting God. It's understanding God. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. So when you fear God, it's because you know that he loves you with a perfect love, and therefore you don't fear anything else because you understand that he's God and he's in charge. Well, remember the children of Israel, the remnant that was left after the destruction of Israel, has said, no, we are going to Egypt. So they've gone to Egypt, and Jeremiah has gone with them. In Jeremiah chapter 44, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah. Now listen, it's the word of the Lord. It came to Jeremiah, and it is for all the Jews living in the land of Egypt. Those who were living in Migdol, in Tophanes, in Memphis, and in the land of Patros, saying. So they have gone to Egypt. They are scattered. They are settled in Egypt. And thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you yourselves have seen all the calamity. Now that's a key word, and we mark it. You say, I don't understand that. We're teaching you how to study the Bible. We're taking you through a book of the Bible. We take you through one book and then another book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we give you a study guide that you can download. You just go to preceptsforlife.com. You can start right now. You can start in Jeremiah where we are, and you can go forward with us and learn how to study your Bible in a way that is revolutionary. He says, you yourselves have seen all the calamity that I have brought on Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are in ruins, and no one lives in them because of their wickedness. Now, I color wickedness and sin and transgression and evil all brown. because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger. Now listen carefully. By continuing to burn sacrifices and to serve other gods whom they had not known, neither they nor their fathers. I mean, here they are in Egypt. They're making sacrifices and they're burning these sacrifices to God and incense to God. He says, yet I sent you all my servants, the prophets, again and again saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing which I hate. Now, he's telling us all of this for a purpose, and it's going to lead to prosperity, okay? So hang on, because what he's saying is, you are in idolatry. You are worshiping other idols. And he said, your fathers got in trouble because they did this. Therefore, verse 6, my wrath and my anger were poured out and burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, so that they have become a ruin and a desolation as it is to this day. I've told you over and over again. I told you in Exodus chapter 20 that I am the Lord and there is no other. I'm a jealous God. You shall not make to yourself any likeness of anything in the heaven above and the earth beneath or under the earth. You shall not worship nor bow down to them, for I'm God. I'm God. There's only one. And he says, now then, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, why are you doing great harm to yourselves so as to cut off from you man and woman, child and infant from among Judah, leaving yourselves without a remnant? Why are you doing this? He says, provoking me to anger with the works of your hands, burning sacrifices to other gods in the land of Egypt where you were entering to reside, so that you might be cut off and become a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Now, I believe that America is going to become a curse and a reproach to all the nations, that I believe that America's greatness is gone, and America's greatness is gone because we are changing the laws, because we are going against the clear teaching of the Word of God, because we have aborted babies, because we have laid ourselves on the altar of our lusts, and we have committed adultery, fornication, immorality, lesbianism, homosexuality, sodomy, all these things. Because we think that's what makes us happy. Those are our idols. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 that greed is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. So remember that as I continue to read. He says, have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers? The wickedness of the kings of Judah, the wickedness of their wives, your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Have you forgotten all that wickedness? Have you forgotten what happened as a result of it? But you have not become contrite, even to this day. Nor have they feared or walked in my laws and my statutes, which I have set before you and before your fathers. Listen, it is one thing to sin. It is another thing to harden your heart. When you sin, if you go to God, as Psalm 51 says, and you have a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise that. God will come to your rescue. If you see the awfulness of sin and you hate sin like God hates it, and you say, my heart is broken. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Then God will heal. Read Psalm 51 and come to the end and see a broken and contrite heart. Thou will not despise. He says, but you have not feared me. You have not walked in my ways. You have not been contrite. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, verse 11, behold, I am going to set my face against you for woe. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. I am setting my face against you, and I am going to bring woe, pain, adversity into your life. He says, I even to cut off all of Judah, and I will take away the remnant of Judah. Now mark remnant. Remember, it's like a blue rectangle with squiggly lines and then a line cutting off a third of it. He says, I will take away the remnant of Judah who have set their mind, their heart, on entering in the land of Egypt to reside there. They said, God, tell us what to do. We'll do it, no matter what, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. God says, don't go into Egypt, stay here. They said, you're lying to us. And they were arrogant, and they said, we're going into Egypt. So he says, okay. He says, you set your mind on it. He says, they will all meet their end in the land of Egypt. They will fall by the sword and meet their end by famine. You were saying, we're going to Egypt. We don't want war anymore, and we don't want famine anymore. He says, okay. You go to Egypt, you're going to get war, and you're going to get famine. Because he's God. And they will become a curse, an object of horror, an imprecation, and a reproach. And I will punish those who live in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem, with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence. God's three judgments. You know, you didn't get it the first time. You didn't get it the first time. You disobeyed me. You didn't listen, and I punished you. Then I gave you an opportunity to have a broken and contrite heart. I gave you an opportunity to come back to me. I gave you an opportunity for obedience. And I said, I will relent concerning the calamity. And you didn't respond. Now watch what he says. He says, so there will be no refugee or survivors for the remnant of Judah who have entered the land of Egypt to reside there and then return to the land of Judah to which you are longing to return and live. For none will return except a few refugees. There's just going to be a handful. Why the handful? So that they can go back and testify and say they got here in Egypt. They wanted to be here in Egypt. And now it's not what they long for. And they long to return. But you know what? Because they were not broken and contrite of heart, they could not return. God wants you and me to understand, beloved, that sin has its consequence. Sin has its consequence. You cannot sin against God and not reap the harvest of the flesh. We'll talk about it more in just a minute. When you vote for the president, when you vote for the senators and the House of Representatives, for the governors and everything, are you voting because you want prosperity? Are you compromising? Do you say, well, this man doesn't hold to my standards or to the standards of the Word of God, but he promises me prosperity. If I have that, I'll be all set. Hang on, let's go. Jeremiah 44, verse 15. Then all the men who were aware that their wives were burning sacrifices to other gods, along with all the women who were standing by as a large assembly, including all the people who were living in Patros in the land of Egypt, responded to Jeremiah saying, now listen, he has just said you are suffering the consequences. You are not going back. You are not going back, although you long to return, because you are not contrite, because you have not repented in essence. And this is what they say. As for the message that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you. You can just see them, little kids, putting their fingers in the ears. But rather, now these are the wives that are offering these sacrifices, but rather we will certainly carry out every word that is proceeded from our mouths by burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, just as we ourselves, our forefathers, our kings, our present princes did in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food. And no misfortune came upon us. We were well and we saw no misfortune when we were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. We are not going to listen to you, Jeremiah. He says, but since we stopped burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and met our end by the sword and famine and pestilence. It's because we stopped offering sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven. Duh. They didn't get it. They didn't listen. They are totally and absolutely deceived. When we worshiped her, we had prosperity. See, this is why people elect others. This is why people give their money to a lot of preachers on TV who are twisting and distorting the word of God and promising prosperity. There is something in us that drives us in the love of money and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life, and it's all wrapped up in prosperity. And God says, don't be deceived. You can't serve God and mammon. So he spoke to them in their prosperity, and you can put it down in Jeremiah 22:21 and Jeremiah 20 verse 5. And he assured them that he was God. Now let's go on. And this is what it says. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, to the men, the women, even to the people who were giving him such an answer, saying, as for the smoking sacrifice that you burned in the cities of Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your forefathers, your kings, your princes, and the people of this land, did not the Lord remember all of this? And did not all this come to his mind? So the Lord was no longer able to endure it. There is a time when God says, it's enough. I've had enough. Because of the evil of your deeds, because of the abominations which you have committed, thus your land has become a ruin, an object of horror, a curse without inhabitant, as it is this day. I wonder, precious one, if that's what's going to happen to America. I kind of think so. That we are going to become an object of horror, that we are going to become a curse because we've walked away from God, because what we did is we put on our money in God we trust, and we abandoned God and we just tried to trust in our money. He says, because you have burned sacrifices and sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord or walked in his statutes, his law, his statutes, his testimonies. Therefore, I want you to know, this calamity has befallen you as it has today. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, including the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who are in the land of Egypt. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as follows, as for you and your wives, you have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled it with your hands, saying, we will certainly perform our vows that we have vowed to burn sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her. Go ahead and confirm your vows and perform your vows. Nevertheless, hear the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord that stands, beloved. All Judah who are living in the land of Egypt, behold, I have sworn by my great name, declares the Lord, never shall my name be invoked again by the mouth of any man of Judah in the land of Egypt, saying, as the Lord lives, I will not listen anymore. Behold, I am watching over them for harm and not for good. And all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt will meet their end by the sword and famine until they are completely gone. Those who escape the sword will return out of the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, few in number, just a small group to be my witness. Then all the remnant of Israel, of Judah, who have gone to the land of Egypt to reside there, will know whose word will stand, mine or theirs. You're going to know. You're going to know. The end consequence is my word stands, and you're going to realize that your word does not. And he says, I'm going to give you a sign. This will be a sign to you, declares the Lord, that I am going to punish you in this place so that you may know my words will surely stand against you for harm. Thus says the Lord, behold, I am going to give over Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, to the hand of his enemies, to the hand of those who seek his life, just as I gave over Zedekiah, king of Judah, to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who was his enemy and was seeking his life. I'm going to give you a sign. Pharaoh Hophra is ruling over you now. This man, and it's recorded in history, and it's written, he said, not even God can remove me from my throne. What arrogance. What arrogance. So he says, I'm going to remove him from his throne. I'm going to let his enemies kill him. And his enemies did. He said, just as I pronounced judgment on Zedekiah, I'm pronouncing judgment on him. And I want you to see that I am the God of all flesh. I want you to see that my word stands, not man's. And if God's word stands, beloved, then you and I need to fear God. The fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of the wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is your shield, and it protects you from sin. Not the fear and the love of riches. Not trusting in riches, which God can take away at any single time. Listen very carefully, very, very carefully. Seek holiness, not prosperity. Seek holiness, not prosperity. Seek the fear of God and depart from the fear of man, because the fear of man brings a snare. And know this, that your prosperity, your health, your security, all depends on God. Do you understand that? His word stands, not yours, and not any man's. He is the sovereign ruler of all the universe. He creates good, and he creates adversity. He is the Lord who does these things.
are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
What, beloved, is our precept for life as we bring this week to a close? All week I've been talking about the fear of God versus the fear of man, that the fear of man brings a snare. Well, we've looked at treasure. We've looked at prosperity. So right now, what I'd like to do is just share a few verses on the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 15:16 says that it is better than great treasure. The fear of the Lord is better than prosperity, than great treasure. Listen, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. They thought that they would have peace, and they got turmoil. The fear of the Lord keeps you from evil. Proverbs 16:6-7, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. And then he says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I want you to see that there is a future for those who live in his fear. Proverbs 23, verse 17 and 18, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. And finally, the fear of the Lord is our treasure. It is the stability of our times. In Isaiah 33:6, it says, and he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Do you remember in Jeremiah 17, when God said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord? And cursed is the man who trusts in the arm of flesh. What are you trusting in? Who are you fearing? Who is setting your agenda? Is it man? Is it the things of this world? Or is it God? Oh, beloved, yes, we're going to go through trials. Yes, we're living in a culture that is opposed to the Word of God. But there is a future. There is hope. And God's in charge, and Jesus is coming, and his reward is with him to give to every one of us according to our deeds. May your deeds be found in him, in righteousness, in godliness, in holiness, in the fear of the Lord.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide, or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.